Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
Today we are going to learn Shir Chav Zayin, the 27th installment of Sefer HaMitzvos, which comprises the study of Mitzvos Asei Yud Gimel, the 13th positive mitzvah. This corresponds to the study of chapters 2, 3, and 4 in the laws of Tefillin, Mezuzah, and Sefer Torah. Hatzivui Shanitztavinu, the commandment that God gave us, B'maase Tefillin Shel Yod, in what's referred to here in the new translation, in the act, the maase of the Tefillin Shel Yod. In the older translation it says, Setzivanu Lehaniach. He told us to put on, but really that is the same point. What is the thing, the action that we're supposed to take with the tefillin? Some people think you're supposed to put the tefillin in a velvet bag and leave it in a drawer for 12 years. That's not what you're supposed to do with tefillin, right? Tefillin are supposed to be worn. You're supposed to use them on a regular basis. V'hu amar amra yisala, God says in His Torah, ukshartam le'ot al yadecha, you should bind them as a sign upon your hand. This commandment in the Torah is repeated 4 times, but to be sure, the details are not told to us in the Torah at all. All of this comes halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai, the notion that tefillin have to be square and leather and black and written on parchment, and written with black ink, and 10 details in total are all halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai. It is an oral tradition that was passed down from Moshe Rabbeinu through the ages. But none of it is actually written in the Torah. And oftentimes when people will say, I'm a biblical Jew, I only go to the Bible. I'm not interested in the rabbinical stuff. So I asked them, I said, very good. So how do you propose to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin? Maybe it means putting a stop sign on your hand. So let's put a sign. How do you know what it means? Does it make sense that God would give us a Bible that we can't make heads or tails out of? So this is one of those basic mitzvahs that most people would agree is a mitzvah, but in the Torah itself, there is absolutely no detail whatsoever. The most of the detail we have is the words, ukishartam. And as I mentioned yesterday, there seems to be an emphasis in the Sefer Mishneh Torah that emphasizes there's the mitzvah of to place them upon your head, ulikashram, to tie them upon your hand. It seems to be more a notion, more an idea of tying rather than placing. And the head tefillin is in one place. Nobody actually ties it. It's placed on the head. But the hand tefillin actually have to be tied. And one of the wonderful things about the knot of the Baal HaTanya, the Alter Rebbe, is that you actually tighten the tefillin onto your arm. You're not just wrapping it. You're actually tightening the tefillin on, which is the kesher with which you perform ukshartam. Now, the Rambam's second order of business is to prove to you that this is a separate mitzvah from the mitzvah we learned about yesterday. Mitzvah 12 is the tefillin shel rosh. And it is not by any means simple that they are two mitzvot. Because generally speaking, people look at them as a unit. Did you put on tefillin today? Not did you put on the hand tefillin, or did you put on the head tefillin? It's only in extenuating circumstances. If one has no choice, one puts on whatever is possible. But generally speaking, you have to wear both pairs of tefillin. So the Rambam says you should know that there are two mitzvot. The horaya, and the proof, she'at tefillin shel rosh v'shel yad, that the tefillin of the head and the tefillin of the hand, shtei mitzvot atu mitzvot. The Rambam says this can be seen clearly from the words of our sages in the Gemara in Mesechet Menachot. Over there on page 44a it says, the Gemara asks like a question on somebody who would say that tefillin shel rosh, the headset, v'shel yad, you cannot wear one without the other. And that if you would wear only tefillin on the hand without wearing tefillin on the head, you didn't do a mitzvah at all. That's a suggestion of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, how could you say that? Quote, man delet le shtei mitzvot, the one who does not have two mitzvot, chada mitzvah lo leved, he shouldn't do one mitzvah. What's the logic to that? He cannot put on the head tefillin because he doesn't have a pair of head tefillin. All he has is hand tefillin. All kinds of unbelievable stories of Jews in ghetto and concentration camp in the forest. They had one tefillin, a hand tefillin or a head tefillin. So they shouldn't put that on. That's all they have. You put on whatever you can. And the Gemara puts it that way. If a person cannot do two mitzvot, you say do no mitzvot. In other words, Mishi'ef shalasot shtei mitzvot, a person can't do two. So lefachot, at very least, you can't do achat, can't do one. And the Gemara says, no. Ela yase ha-mitzvah shebiyado. You do whatever you can. Do the best you could. Well, lefichach, the conclusion of the Gemara is, yaniach eze mehen shebenimtza. Wear whichever set you have your hands on. If it's head tefillin and that's all you have, then wear the head tefillin. If it's hand tefillin, then wear the hand tefillin. Hine nitba'er lach, the Rambam says. This is so clear. It's so obvious if you just look at the Gemara. Shekaru l'tfilin shal yad v'shal rosh shtei mitzvot. Our sages refer to these two different artifacts. They're constructed differently inasmuch as they look similar. They're very different. They're two different things. And the Torah calls it two mitzvot. So therefore, the Rambam says conclusively, they are in fact two mitzvot. Now, there is a sefer called Zohar HaRakia. And this sefer was written by the Rashbat, so it was a Rishon, lived not so far long after the Rambam. And he is troubled by the fact that when it comes to the mitzvah of tzitzit, there's a mitzvah of putting white threads and the mitzvah of putting threads of tchelet. He is troubled by the fact that the Rambam only considers it to be one mitzvah. And he says, then tefillin should only be one mitzvah because we don't have the tchelet, we still wear the white strings. Just because you can't do both doesn't mean you shouldn't do none. He says, why is it that tzitzit is one mitzvah and this is two mitzvot? And he has a lengthy discussion with proofs back and forth, and he accepts proof and rejects proofs. And ultimately he says that the primary difference between the different threads of the tzitzit and the different pairs of the tefillin, the hand tefillin, different sets of tefillin, pardon me, the hand tefillin, the hand set, and the headset, is that when you put on the tzitzit, there's no two actions taken. A mitzvah is a commandment. A mitzvah is an instruction. God commands you to do something. The Torah doesn't tell you, put on tzitzit with tchelet, and then tells you, put on tzitzit with regular lavan, with white strings. Torah says, put on tzitzit. What are tzitzit? Tzitzit are comprised of tchelet and lavan in an ideal state. If things were as they should be, that would be tzitzit. So the Zohar HaRakia says, and therefore, tefillin is markedly different, because tefillin, there's a masa hakshira, you put on the hand tefillin, you tie on the hand tefillin, and your maniach, you place the tefillin on the head. It's two separate actions. Two separate actions. Makes sense that it's two separate mitzvot. And this, indeed, is the generally accepted notion that there are two mitzvot. The Rambam tells us that you should know that these two mitzvot, women are not obligated in fulfilling them. And the reason is because we know with regard to this, the obligation of this mitzvah, the Torah states in Shemot, in Exodus 13, verse 9, Yud Gimel Tes, the Torah says, Leman tihiye Torat Hashem beficha, so that the Torah, the teaching of God, the instruction of God will be upon your mouth. And since women are not morally obligated, although it's highly appropriate, especially in today's day and age, but they're not obligated in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, so therefore, they're not obligated in the mitzvah of tefillin. So let's take this a little bit deeper. So what is the mitzvah of tefillin really? What is it? And perhaps when we'll understand what the mitzvah of tefillin is, we'll have a better understanding of the fact that a woman is exempt from the mitzvah of tefillin. So the Sefer Achinuch in mitzvah Tov Chof Aleph, and it's interesting to note that the Sefer Achinuch first counts the hand tefillin and then counts the head tefillin. That's the way it's written in the Torah. It's the way we put them on. Uksharam laot al yadecha, vahayula totafot. The Rambam first counts the mitzvah 12 of head tefillin, and then he counts the mitzvah of hand tefillin. And I think that this is probably because the Rambam focuses on prominence. The head tefillin are considered more prominent than the hand tefillin. In fact, one is permitted to be ma'alim bakodesh, to go up in holiness. So if you were to take the strap of your hand tefillin, you could use it for a head tefillin, but you cannot go vice versa. That's considered a step down. That's because the head tefillin has four separate scrolls, whereas the hand tefillin only have one scroll. So kedushata chamura, the kedusha of the head tefillin is heavier, is loftier, and perhaps that's the reason that the Rambam lists it in the order of head followed by hand, whereas the Sefer Achinuch follows the order of the pasuk and how he actually fulfilled the mitzvah. So what's the reason for this mitzvah? What's the root origin? Misharsha ha-mitzvah, amongst the origins and roots of this mitzvah, says the Chinuch, Sheha'adam bihiyote ba'chomer. A person is very materialistic. That's how people are. God made us that way. Yumshich behechrech achra tavot. People are naturally drawn after things that they lust for. They can't even explain to you why they lust for it. But they don't have to explain it to you. Certain things, it catches their eye. Something that they have pleasure. Something that they have enjoyment. Even if it's forbidden. The natural thing is it catches the eye. It's human nature. That's how God made us. Now, having your eye caught is not the problem. Leaving your eye trapped is the problem. Your eye caught, you turn away. It's not for you. But this is the nature. And the nature of a human being is levakish kol hanot elav. What's in it for me? That's human nature. How can I benefit? How can I have pleasure? And if you tell the animal he can have pleasure, the animal is very interested. It's a very good commentary. In the animal soul, as a person is kisus kefered, says the Chinuch. He's like our horse, like a mule. That's how people are. Ein hoven, no seichel, no intelligence. And therefore, if not for the soul that God gave us, we would never be able to refrain from sin. God gave us the soul which empowers a Jew, and for that matter a human being, with the ability to master the natural instincts that come with a bodily existence. So God gave us these instincts, He gave us these characteristics, and He gave us the ability to control them. Now, of course, in order to do this, we have to make sure that we're always being mindful of what we're trying to do. Because if you allow yourself to go onto automatic, if you aren't actively trying to push yourself in a certain direction, if you simply revert back to the way things are by themselves, you will not be living a holy life. It's impossible. Holiness is never achieved by default. It's always a choice and invariably a challenge and a difficult choice. And the more difficult choice, the more meaningful the mitzvah. As the Mishnah says, lafum tzara agra. And according to the pain, that's how valuable is the gain. And so, the Sefer HaChinuch says, God wants that we should not be interrupting ourselves from a Torah state of consciousness for even a moment. And therefore, we're supposed to study Torah, yomam v'layla, day and night. But not only do we study Torah, yomam v'layla, there's also tzitzit on our four corners. Our garments are adorned with strings. There are strings attached, and there's a constant memory. And then we have a mezuzah on our door, so the place that we live looks different. And finally, on our person, we wear tefillin on our hand and on our head. The hakol, lazkireinu, all to remind us. L'man nechdal me'eshek yadeinu, so that we will not be overwhelmed with the physical material nature that the Sefer HaChinuch described earlier. And this is the reason, for example, that Kohanim and Levim, when they're serving in the Beit HaMikdash, do not need to wear tefillin. Why? Because when you're serving in the Beit HaMikdash, you're mindful of holiness. Everything you're doing is holy. And this is the reason, by extension, even though the Sefer HaChinuch doesn't say this openly, that on a day like Shabbat, a Jew has a natural sign. He's naturally in a higher state of consciousness. On a Shabbat, on a Chag, Yom Kippur, and Rosh Hashanah, it's not necessary to wear tefillin. So if you follow the logic of the Sefer HaChinuch, how come women don't have to wear tefillin? It must be, they don't forget. They don't forget, it must be. Everybody knows men are very forgetful, right? They never remember anything. So it fits. That was from the Ramba, from the Sefer HaChinuch's discussion of mitzvah of tefillin shel yad. In mitzvah Tov Chav Beis, when he talks about tefillin shel rosh, the Rambam talks about the different portions of the Torah which were selected for the tefillin, and the head tefillin in separate compartments, and the hand tefillin in one long scroll. And he says, Sheyesh ba'elu kabbalat malchut shemayim. These parshiyot, these paragraphs of the Torah specifically, contain within them the notion of God's dominion and the acceptance of God's dominion, the notion of Achdut Hashem, the idea of the oneness of God, where even though it looks like there's an entire world that is independent of godliness, actually everything is all one and contained within godliness, as well as the idea of Yetziat Mitzrayim, because Yetziat Mitzrayim is machriach emunat chidusha olam. It means God is constantly involved. Yeah, a person could say, God once upon a time made a world, and then he went on vacation. So therefore I'm free. The Kuzari, famous book written by Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi. In it, he had heard the legend of this Khazar kingdom, this kingdom called Khazari on the Black Sea that was situated between two worlds, in the world of Christendom and the world of Islam, and they were pagans. And they were looking for a new religion, so the king, who was called the Kagan Bek, he summoned clergy people, Christian clergy person, an Islam clergy person, an imam, and then a rabbi. Why the rabbi? You figure the truth has to be either Christianity or Islam. That has to be the truth. The problem was every time he talked to them, they kept mentioning the Hebraic origins. So just to know that he did his proper due diligence, he said, okay, fine, so I'm going to meet the rabbi too. And he thought to himself, it's impossible that the Jews can be the religion of Emet, of truth, because look at them. They're broken people. They're persecuted people. But just to go through the motions, he called the rabbi. He said, so what do you believe in? What do you Jews believe in? The rabbi said, and again, we don't know exactly what really happened. We know that there are letters that were sent from the Kagan Bek to Spain, to the Jewish community in Spain, where a man who was not only alive at the time of the Rambam, but actually served as the Rambam's translator. Served as the Rambam's translator. He translated the Sefer HaMitzvahs. His name was Ibn Tibban. So Ibn Tibban wrote letters. He corresponded with these Khazarian converts, with these Jews. And some of those letters are still extant in manuscript. Almost 8 centuries old, they're still extant in manuscript of Ibn Tibban and the Jews who lived over there. But at any rate, unless there was a different Ibn Tibban, because there were a number of them, there was a Shmuel, there was a Yehuda, if it wasn't him, it was a son or a grandson of the original Ibn Tibban. At any rate, Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi tried to imagine what would the rabbi have answered? And that's why he wrote this book called Kuzari, which is a book of very fundamental work of Jewish philosophy. He says, what do we believe in? We believe God took us out of Egypt. So the Kagan started to laugh. He said, this is insane. I spoke to the Christian, to the priest. He said, we believe God created the universe. I spoke to the imam. He said, God created the world. And you're telling me he took you out of Egypt? What is greater, going out of Egypt or creating the universe, the cosmos? So the rabbi explained to him that the fact that God created the universe and the cosmos in no ways obligates us. He created the universe. It's very nice of you, God. I hope you're having a nice vacation, wherever you are out there, because we're the masters of our own destiny. But the Jew says, no. God took me out of Mitzrayim. And therefore, now I was an Eved Lefaro, now I am an Eved Hashem. In other words, this idea of God's continuous engagement and involvement with creation, not the once upon a time creation. And that's exactly what the Sefer HaChinuch says here. That the emphasis of tefillin is not only Kabbalat Omar HaShamayim, acceptance of the yoke of heaven. A person has to be in a mindset where he's ready to accept what God says. He said, we talk about Achdut Hashem, that God constantly recreates the world, that God's engaged with creation. But the whole emphasis, he says, Yetzias Mitzrayim is machriach emunat chidush ha'olam. It's not enough to believe God created the heaven and earth. I have to believe that God took me out of Mitzrayim. I have to believe that God is involved in our world, in our people, that He selected us as His special chosen, as His children, and He gave us mitzvahs. And finally, the Hashgacha of Hashem Etachteinim. So these are the principles, Elohim, the Sefer HaChinuch says in an unqualified way, Elohim Yisodot Dat Yehudit. This is the foundations of the Jewish faith. Which means then, by extension, if you follow the Sefer HaChinuch's reasoning, that the tefillin is binding upon oneself the principles, the foundations of Jewish faith. And in a spiritual way, we saw before that the Rambam connects it to the study of Torah. We have a famous Medrash Tehillim. This Medrash is recited by every Chabad Bar Mitzvah boy because he recites a discourse of the Rebbe Maharash, the fourth Rebbe, which invokes this Medrash. And the Medrash says that the Jewish people wanted to learn Torah all day, but they said, we have no time. So God said to them, fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin, and I'll consider it as if you would have studied Torah day and night. And that's very interesting because we see that the Rambam connects the mitzvah of tefillin to the mitzvah of the study of Torah. Study of Torah puts us into a state of God consciousness. It elevates our mind. It changes the way we feel about things. It transforms our emotional engagement. And so it is when a Jew puts on tefillin in a way that we don't really understand. The very fact that you put on tefillin, if it's only for a small amount of time, it gives you this infusion of strength, this reminder of who we are, of what our mission is. Like I always like to tell people, it's the original high-speed download. You put on the tefillin, and your whole day is different. And when a Jew puts on tefillin, he fulfills both mitzvah Yud Beis and mitzvah Yud Gimel, the mitzvah of tefillin Shel Rosh that we learned about yesterday, as well as the mitzvah of tefillin Shel Yad. I should add to you that Rambam says that somebody who is zahir, who is careful about performing the mitzvah of tefillin, will merit a long life. And there are many unique things about the mitzvah of tefillin that are different from every other mitzvah that say amongst them, a person who never put on tefillin, it is said, can't go into Gan Eden. And it says, the Zohar says, a person, a karkafta, a skull, the lemanach tefillin, that never wore tefillin, is doomed. And that means even if a Jew puts on tefillin one time in his life, he is already taken away out of the state of being karkafta de lemanach. There are some opinions that say karkafta means you missed one day. But most opinions are karkafta de lemanach means you didn't put on tefillin at all ever in your life. And there's no other, the Rebbe said, there's no other mitzvah like this. There's no other mitzvah that you perform these two mitzvahs and it changes you. A brit milah is a physical change, but here is a mitzvah you did. If you eat, a Jew who never ate matzah, or a Jew who ate matzah once, doesn't say that he's a different kind of person. But a Jew who never put on tefillin, if you put on tefillin even that one time, that brings about a huge transformation, and that was one of the reasons that I've explained why he was so intent on making sure that as many Jews as possible put on tefillin. That's the idea of mivtzah tefillin, and we know that tefillin give us the strength to defeat the enemy. As it says in the Torah, the nations will see that the name of God is called upon you, and they will fear you. And the Gemara says, what are they seeing? What will they see that will strike fear in their hearts? And the Gemara answers, Elu tefillin shebarosh. This is the tefillin that we wear on the head, yesterday's mitzvah. So the performance of tefillin is what earns our respect in the eyes of the nations, is what strikes fear in the hearts of our enemies, is what gives us, with Hashem's help, a long life. And hopefully, with one more Jew putting on tefillin, very soon we will see the Geula HaMitit V'Hashlema, Ayidei Mashiach Tzidkenu, Mehera Ubi Amenu. Amen.